We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, what's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Dice It Up on the Her Hoop Stats podcast. Ice, we are joined by one of the top guests we've ever had. I am so pumped for this interview. You know this coach personally. You've played against this coach. We're joined by head coach Brooke Wyckoff of Florida State, new head coach. She was interim before taking over in her first official year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dano. And let's just be clear. Ice played against me when I was coaching. She is way younger than me. We didn't like play against each other as basketball players. I just want to clarify that, like, for her sake. but I did coach against her when she was a player.
I thought about that too. And I was like, are people, I'm like, oh, that's probably fine. It's no big deal.
Way younger than me, but no, I'm super excited and thrilled to be here with you both. It's a great honor. I love this pod. And so really appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, coach. One, it was, you know, fun playing against you, so to speak. We love the ACC love. So that's great. Daniel did mention this before we started that I did start at the University of Florida. So we were like sworn enemies at first, but yes. I got rid of them. We moved on to better things. So now I can give you ACC love. So here we are.
Yes.
But you've got a great resume, right? I mean, you know, 4-year standout at FSU, one of the only 4 Seminoles to have your jersey retired, played in the W for 8 years. And now you are officially a head coach, like under contract. It's no longer interim. It is the real thing and you're doing it. But walk us through that interim year, just, you know, following up after Sue, kind of going through everything. And then obviously COVID, dealing with those things, you know, you kind of got your first start as a head coach in a tough time, like in a tough circumstance. How did you breeze your way through it?
One day at a time, really. And that was kind of the blessing in disguise with being a coach during COVID, and especially being a first time, you know, head coach, even though it was interim, was that COVID forced us all just to take it one day at a time, because we had no idea. Nobody knew what was next. And a lot of hard things were happening. And so it was a great way just to kind of rally the team together. And under that just kind of theme of, hey, we're going to be grateful and have gratitude for every day that we have together, that every day that we're able to be healthy and to play basketball during this crazy time when so many hard things are going on. So it really was like to enter into that role and be forced to just be in the moment, because as you guys know, it just, when you're leading something and there's so many things going on, as a head coach, you can get wrapped up in all of the big picture and million details, and your brain can go everywhere all the time. So that it was just like, we're here, we're practicing. We're going to see if we can play a game today. If not, we'll try again tomorrow. And so I learned a lot of just staying present and being grateful for what's in front of me.
Yeah, that's awesome. My follow-up to that is, you know, culture is a big thing when we talk about basketball and teams and replacing Sue, right? And then doing that in the interim coaching year, which is kind of hard to establish your own culture, right? Because of course it's going to be different than anyone that follows. It's going to be unique to you and your experiences. How have you been able to establish your own culture this year? And really having some time to be able to do that outside of the season, outside of being interim, right? And firstly, like getting that space to do that.
Yeah. Well, like you said, that is the most important thing. As we all know, being in sports, it's like you can have most amazing players. You can think you know all about the X's and O's, but if you don't have that foundation of a great culture, a solid culture, and people that buy into that culture, you're not going to, it's going to be a really hard road. So fortunately, you know, having been here and having played and coached under someone that was an expert in establishing culture and having very consistent culture in Coach Sue, I was able to build upon that, especially with the players that were here last year who kind of already knew what our program is about philosophically. And really that we're about people first. We're about taking care of each other first and foremost. And so building on that and kind of putting my own spin on it based on really not necessarily who I am, but kind of what we need right now. I mean, this college athletics is changing the landscape. What college athletics means is changing all the time, as we know. And college kids change. Are like just who people are in general and kind of the different pressures that each generation has year by year. Like all those things go into how we approach culture. And so, you know, starting with the basis of we're going to be about each other, starting with that, now I've established kind of our culture. And really what it is, you know, we talk every day is that we're going to get closer and better as a team every day. That's our goal. You know, we want to win championships. Those are stops along the way. We want to win games, but like if we can focus on that goal of really what it is building culture, we'll be just fine.
Love it.
I do want to go back to the fact that I don't think I've heard anybody throughout the COVID year talk about that situation and use the word grateful. Like, I mean, like, the flexibility, adaptability to just go with games being canceled, rescheduled, et cetera. And it all led, you know, you hear to this. I mean, it's an awesome story. And I love a good narrative of, you know, someone who was a standout going back to their alma mater. I think Coach Sue's first year coaching, that was your freshman year, which is even crazier. But with the success you've had, not just, you know, the interim year, but just helping this program for so long, was there ever a time that you thought and considered other coaching positions or was, you know, this Florida State position always kind of your dream?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And really Florida State, you know, has been my home and it's been a huge part of who I am since I was 16, 17 years old, but I have been, this is my 12th year coaching at Florida State. So it's been a while. This has always been my first priority. And I did consider, you know, other opportunities came up over the years that I considered and looked at and talked to people, but I really knew that to get me out of here. And especially as while I was working for Coach Sue, like, it was hard to top that in my mind in terms of a better situation for me and my growth. That was the most important thing, though, that I think was really critical was that Coach Sue understood that I still needed to grow. So as long as I was doing that here at Florida State, I mean, each year I gained more responsibility. Each year I was involved in more things within the program and I became better and within in every aspect of the job, that was still going on. So as long as that was there, I was like, it's hard to top this place. You know, ACC, we had a lot of success on the court, and I just love it here in Tallahassee and at Florida State. It's family. So, yes, I did entertain other opportunities as they came up and got that experience with some interviewing, things like that. But always knew in my heart that if they wanted me here as an assistant or as a head coach, this would be my first choice.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad that it all worked out. It's like, you know, someone may write a book about it one day, and I'm all for reading. Okay. Now, I mean, how did somebody from, you know, the Midwest, Ohio, even end up in Tallahassee? I mean, the way you're talking about Tallahassee, I feel like Ice and I, we need to go visit. I mean, actually, Ben, I've never been to Tallahassee.
You never been? It's decent.
I know it's capital.
Ice is like, it's decent. Tallahassee is a special place, but you know, and what makes it most special are the people here and my Florida State family. And that really is, when you're in Florida State, like as a student, you work here, you really do feel that community and that support from the community of Tallahassee. And at, you know, at my age now, I have a 9-year-old daughter. It's a great place to have kids, to raise a child and, you know, to get that small town vibe without it being like completely like just total country and nothing going on. I mean, we're the capital of the state of Florida. So there's that. Not many people know that. I don't think, I would assume that a lot of people know Tallahassee is the state capital. But lots of sunshine, lots of warm weather, and close to the beach, driving distance to the beach. So, my recruiting story is crazy from Cincinnati, Ohio. Just had no idea what I wanted and not a lot of great guidance. My parents had no idea about the process. I would have hated recruiting me the way I handled the process. I would have been so mad at myself now if I had to recruit myself. But really, I just felt that Florida State wanted me and cared about me and wanted me to help them build something. That was really what it came down to in my 16-year-old brain when I was making this decision, 17 years old, was that, hey, that's a place that has great potential. I can impact right away. And it's not, you know, it's getting me out of Ohio, which is what I wanted at the time, and just wanted to see something different. So it ended up being a great decision. And we've actually, over the years, had a lot of success recruiting Ohio. There's just something about, I mean, the sunshine, warm weather. Like, it's not a hard sell getting someone out of the Midwest, like for a couple years, like, hey, come on down and see what it's like down here. Let your blood thin out a little and, you know, get used to this warm weather. It's not a hard sell.
And you don't have to worry about athletes wanting too much. I think that it's Graders. It's big up there in Cincinnati, Graders. Yeah. And I mean, I'm a Jenny's fan. I stand Jenny's so hard. I don't care if it's $11 a pint, I'm still buying it. Maybe not Division III college me, but absolutely. But yeah, you don't have to worry about that with D1 athletes. They're not eating ice cream all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you know, you can find Graders. You can find some Graders down here. Yeah, in Publix. And Skyline Chili's big up in Cincinnati. Skyline Chili is a big thing. And you can also find that in the frozen section of Publix down here. So we got it all. We got it all down here. We're good.
I was literally on a radio show yesterday and I was telling someone I miss Publix. Like, Publix is something that needs to be nationwide. I don't understand why it's not, but Publix is like, it was so key when I was in Florida for the 2 years. Like, just, you can go and get a hoagie and you'd be great. You can go and get cake and you'll be great. Like, it is just, it's amazing. It's, I like love Publix cake. I don't know why, but I do.
Yes, it's good cake. Yeah. That is our go-to cake and it's the best. So, yeah. See, you got to come visit. You got to make a Publix run.
I literally have grocery stores that are, like, extremely tiny. I get anxiety. I'm, like, 6'3", 200 pounds. It's so hard to navigate through. COVID was terrible. Just with the spacing. And they're just not built for taller people. But we should move off the food a bit.
Well, you know what? We can talk about who eats food is kids. And we would like to talk about your I feel like journey, the way that you embrace being a mom and coaching. and just the group that you have, the meetings, the podcasts. Like, I think for us as women, it's not a new thing to talk about, right? We've always kind of had those supportive groups, or I'm always like talking to coaches or my mentors, like, you know, they're always like suggested, make sure you date, make sure you care about your, you know, your personal life and having kids, not your career. And so just wanted to ask you, one, you know, being that role model for some of these other coaches who are maybe starting young families and just having that support, what does that mean to you? And how do you feel like you embody that every single day being a mom and now a head coach, which is doubly hard, right?
Yeah, no, it's a huge passion of mine. Thank you for bringing this up. I mean, the group that I co-founded is called Moms in Coaching. And really, that's what it is. It's a group of women who mostly coach basketball, but at all levels, that are moms or thinking about becoming moms. And it started out as a support group, so to speak, just to help those of us that were trying to do both know that, wow, there's a lot of us out there actually doing this. Sometimes we don't even know. You know, you're sitting next to somebody on the recruiting trail or you're coaching against somebody, they don't have their kids with them. You don't really necessarily know how many moms are out there doing this. And also just to really encourage and be visible saying, hey, you know, to young women that are thinking, can I do both? Can I have kids and stay in this profession? We want to say, you know, yes, you can. There's a lot of us doing it and we're here for you if that's what you decide, because it isn't easy. I mean, being a parent first and foremost, just in and of itself is very challenging. And then, and a working parent in any field, but also the specific challenges of being a college coach and also being a mom and the travel and the time constraints, all those things. And also just the great things about, that's what I love too, is just telling the stories that my daughter has had some amazing, unique experiences and really continues to just her coming to practice and being around our team is an amazing, unique experience that most kids don't get to have. I never had that. You know, I never got to be around of an amazing group of powerful women that were living their dream, playing elite athletics, going to school. Like, those role models that she has make it all worth it, you know? Yeah. And for our players too, they get to be those role models. They get to see on a daily basis when my daughter's there looking up to them that, hey, I really am, you know, impacting. I am an example for this little girl that's coming in and wants to shoot around and dribble. Like, she wants to be me someday. Like, those types of experiences are so key and so amazing on both sides. We need that around, you know, we need that. We talk about family all the time. Like, you know, every program we talk about, we're family, you know, and we're taking care of these kids when they're away from home, you know, and I'm talking about our players, you know, we are their family when they're not home. And so that helps, having kids around, having parents that are doing this, helps that family atmosphere a lot, I think, and is really crucial to just the overall well-being of a program day to day, just having that freedom to have family around. So I'm passionate about, as you can see, it's been an amazing experience, and really proud to be a part of watching other moms do it. And ultimately, honestly, it helps keep women in coaching. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the huge things that, that, you know, our coaches association, the WBCA, has been huge about. Like, how do we support females staying in coaching? I always have to say, it does not mean that we don't want males coaching women's basketball. I am not saying that. I have two males on my staff, my two male assistants, love having, you know, males coaching women's basketball, but it is a place for everybody. And sometimes it is harder, you know, for women to make that choice in any field. And so we want to ultimately be about that. Like, how can we do our part in this little area to keep women in coaching and support them if they also want to have a family?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it sends a message to also your players, right? Yeah. You know, like, your players that, you know, your daughter walking in, she has an assumed now 12 to 15, right? Like young big sisters, you know, that are going to be around, that are going to love her. One of my favorite memories ever in college, and Coach Bill Ferreira, like, was my first coach that offered me. He works with you now underneath you as assistant. Love Coach Bill, but he was with me when I was at Florida for 1 year. And he was with me. He has two daughters, Dano. One is Callie, but then he only had one. He only had Callie. And so I never forget, he was our guard coach. So he brought all the guards into his house. We're like sitting and eating dinner. And Callie comes out with his shirt on. And it says, like, I'm going to be a big sister. When I tell you, I like wept, like I cried. Like I was like, oh my God, we have another little baby coming.
Oh, and so
I don't know how old Maya is, but they're like, I swear kids grow so quickly through like social media. You see kids and I feel like every year it's like they've grown 10 inches and it's like you're an adult now. But I say that to say that it was so amazing to experience, to know and experience that she's going to have big sisters, you know, that she's going to care. And we had, you know, times where my teammates would like, you know, babysit his kids and things like that. And it just, it brings together, like you talked about, like the real part of family. So I love that. I think for your players too, that it gives that side of like, you know, I'm a big sister. If I have no siblings, I've got coaches' kids to take care of, you know?
Exactly. So huge. Yeah, and Maya was just here this morning at work with us. She's six, by the way. She was in this office. They didn't have school today. They had school off. And so she was here with Bill. And yeah, it's just, it's amazing to have those experiences. Like you will remember that for the rest of your life. And it's because we have an environment, you know, that is accepting of families, moms, dads, whatever. And the unfortunate thing is that's not true at every institution. That's not true for every program. And so that's another piece of what we want to create discussion around is that, you know, it just varies so widely what's acceptable and what's not. And so there's just a greater conversation there about what is best, you know, and what kinds of things can be put into place at the institutional level that allows room for family and for mothers especially to be able to do their job and not feel the constraints of like, you know, oh my gosh, I can't balance both. And having an institution that understands that, as well as bosses that understand that, athletic directors and head coaches, really, really goes a long way.
I want to take this moment because I feel inspired right now. Pause the show, go call your mom, tell her you love her, because I'm going to do that after we're done recording here.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. Another follow-up question, and you brought up both of y'all brought up kind of like a possible babysitting aspect. Do you have a number one player that you would trust as far as babysitting goes? Doesn't have to be the player you trust on the court, but who would you trust on this current roster?
Like, you don't make layups a lot, but you can watch my kid.
I know.
Florida State doesn't have girls that don't make layups.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses, right? Oh my gosh. I mean, there's so many. I have a lot of responsible players on the roster. I think Sarah Bajetti, who is unfortunately supposed to be on the podcast. She's sick today, but she does a phenomenal job of connecting with my daughter. They have a secret handshake. Like they're always playing together. But I want to say this because if my players hear this, they will get offended. There's so many of them that I would trust with my daughter because they've just shown how much they care for her and they're just responsible people in the moment or just in general. So, but Sarah definitely, she's got the handshake. She's got all the little, you know, inside, like just, she loves it. She's a great, she's great with connecting with kids.
You notice I went safe though. I did not say who would you not trust, right? Barry kept it open.
Right.
Learned my lesson.
That's a good question. That reminds me of the TikTok when teammates go around, like, who would you not let your, you know,
daughter? Yes. Exactly.
Coach, to get into some basketball stuff, you guys have brought across some really good transfers. You have taken advantage of the transfer portal. Let me ask you this, because it's crazier now than ever and what it's been, right? And as someone who went to four different schools, I completely understand it. What's the key to taking advantage of the transfer portal? And along with that too, how important is it to maintain relationships even with players at other places. And I'm being like respectful in that, you know, because now with social media and stuff, like, you know, I could have coaches like message me or, you know, like give me reactions on stories and things like that. And it's kind of like in the back of your head, like, hey, in case you want to leave, don't forget, you know, I always comment and give you some love, you know, like what is that like?
I know. Yeah. I mean, first of all, just it just goes to show like how important the recruiting process really is and how you treat people matters. And that's the thing, like throughout the recruiting process, the first time around, you know, we're finding that those people that have been recruited by somebody out of high school, those are the people they automatically go to or more prone to go to when they're going through their second recruiting process out of the transfer portal. We heard that a lot this offseason. I'm only really talking to schools that I built a relationship with before. So when you hear no these days and no, I'm not interested, I'm, you know, you guys are getting cut off my list, the way you respond to that no is crucial. That, okay, you know, great, wish you the best of luck and let us know if you ever need anything type of deal. And we did that before even, but I mean, it's just even more crucial these days because you just never know. And the relationship piece is everything. It is illegal to keep in touch, you know, and I don't know about liking social media posts. I think that's fine, but you know, it is technically, you know, you shouldn't be reaching out or anything like that or talking about, hey, we're still around, you know, right. In case, wink, wink. Hopefully the first time around, you know, hopefully you've made that clear when you've recruited them the first time around. But yes, we've had great success recruiting out of the transfer portal. And the key is really knowing going in, like, what do you exactly need and what type of person do you want? Like what type of kid are you going to look for character wise and reputation wise? What are you willing to, or can you absorb if there's, you know, some kind of issue there have been issues or, you know, or what do you need? What kind of personality do you need? It's not just the basketball piece, at least for us. And that's why I love, you know, who we were able to recruit out of the transfer portal, because they fit both of those things, what we needed basketball wise and who we needed as people and to kind of personality wise be on this team. It's been absolutely perfect.
Coach, this year, you know, I mean, obviously being your first year is definitely going to be different, but you're also losing, you know, a big piece in Morgan Jones, who I think is she's going to be a grad transfer to Louisville, which is also kind of crazy that you have, I think you may have somebody coming in from the ACC, but other players going out to the ACC. I don't know how often that usually happens in the past, but it feels like it's happening a lot more. In recent years, is it just kind of weird that you've seen this player for so many years and then you're just going to see them in brand new kits? It's got to be just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit. Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said earlier, like college athletics is changing by the minute, and you really can't ever like let yourself be surprised anymore. Even when you are surprised, it's like, you know, I shouldn't be surprised. Like we just, things are changing, weird things come up and you just got to roll with it. And that's for student athletes and for coaches on both sides. It's just kind of, you never quite know, but again, it's about maintaining those relationships. And I, you know, Morgan Jones was an amazing player here. I love her to death. She's an amazing person and really respect her decision to move on and do something different in her fifth year. And I really wish her the best of luck. I mean, obviously I'm not going to be cheering for her while we're playing her against her when we play Louisville. But no, really think that she's got a lot more that she can accomplish and will, and we'll be so happy for her as she continues to succeed. And that's really what it comes down to is understanding that, you know, on both sides, if you've put in what you can put in, if you've done it the right thing by people and tried and just need something different or don't see eye to eye on certain things, that's fine. I mean, it's all good. And the opportunity out there to go into the transfer portal and also recruit out of is really beneficial for a lot of people. So,
you know, it was crazy, you know, like the amount of kids that went in and kind of, you know, but hey, it is what it, this is what everybody's dealing with it. We're all in the same boat. And so it's about understanding what you need, you know, what do we need in our program? What do I need as a coach? And trying to make the right decisions from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, speaking just off of my experiences, you know, transferring now in these last 2 years and then transfers that happened 7-8 years ago, completely different reasons why you may be transferring, right? There are so many different factors that are happening right now. And so I think when you look and see a player maybe that has been to, you know, two different schools or even three different schools, you don't always necessarily think there's an issue with the player. Like maybe you would have, you know, years before. Now it's just like there are so many different things that could possibly be happening. NIL deals, different things like that, that you really have no exact idea of why. And so I think, you know, your approach to that is as open and genuine as it can be and just like, hey, we got to make it work for us. And that's what everybody else is doing. I think it's so interesting that it's just so many battles that you're fighting. You know, you're fighting so many battles in the transfer portal, fighting so many battles when you're first recruiting kids out of high school. These high school kids now, I swear, they're so entitled. They think that they're so great. And so there's just so much of love that you've got to give them. Like, you know, you've got to make them feel like they're the best things in the world all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think with my generation you had to do that, but it's just my take.
I know, act like you're so much older. Come on.
I don't think that. I don't think they had to do that with my generation. I just think we had more... I don't know.
I like to say I was the cutoff. I just turned 30 in August. I graduated high school in 2010. And I saw the difference just in my 4 years playing Division III. But but no, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you brought up social media before, Coach. It's it's a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, you obviously can. I'm not sure how closely y'all also monitor players' social media just from a recruiting aspect. I mean, it's easy to cut someone off. They don't have views or posts that align with the program, but there's just so much exposure that's free, basically.
Absolutely.
It's the Wild West.
It is. Well, yeah. And it really does. You know, well, that's the other thing too. Like, kids these days are getting very savvy with social media, you know, so which is really cool to see, but it is, it's a brand. It's not necessarily who they are. And we see a lot less of like questionable social media these days than I remember us talking about back when Twitter and Instagram were first becoming a thing. Like nowadays, you know, they're very, very savvy about building their brand and curating what they put on. And so you still got to do the work of getting to know them and getting to know the people around them a lot. And, you know, it is like I totally understand where you're coming from. It's like, you know, it's very, you know, easy to say like they're entitled and they're so different. And, you know, I'm 42 and I'm a mom now. And I can see now that like they're a product of what we've built as adults. They're a product of their surroundings and it's not them, you know, necessarily being obviously bad kids or anything like that. But that's why you have to do your homework of who is around them, who is in their ear, you know, cause it's only going to get more that, you know, intensified as they come here and get more exposure. There's going to be more people in their ear. There's going to be more people trying to get to them. Who are they listening to? Are they impressionable? Who's talking to them is huge when it goes into like thinking about, is this going to work? Are they going to be a fit here?
Absolutely. It's just a credit to you and how well you guys are doing your job in recruiting, because you got to sort through so many different things to find out exactly what that person is and what they bring to the table for your team, both on the court and off the court. Coach, we've enjoyed our conversation with you. The last thing I just want to wrap up is basketball wise this season. What should we expect from FSU basketball? I know what to expect to see, but I want you to tell everybody else who does not know and does not follow ACC basketball. If you don't, you should. I don't know what you're doing. But what we expect to see from your group this year on the court?
I expect to see an exciting brand of basketball. That is what I am just looking forward to showing the world, is that we have a group of players with the skill set and talent to play a really exciting, fast-paced style of basketball with hopefully, you know, a good amount of scoring, but really, really focused on the defensive end. This is a basketball cliche, of course, is what everyone would say. But no, truly, we've got a group of players that are really, really locked into playing a style that I think is enjoyable for them and enjoyable to watch. So that fits in great with the ACC, because it's exciting basketball all over the ACC. Such great players. Man, it's going to be a really fun and exciting season to see, like, how all these teams do and some of these great matchups. I can't wait for ACC conference play to get here.
Love it. Oh, sorry, I lied. Last question. How are you on, like, game day fits? You know, like, now officially, like, not interim head coach, real head coach. Like, the game, am I expecting, like, crazy game day fits? Am I expecting, like, stilettos? Are we kind of just chilling, like, you know, give me an idea, because I'm a fashion player.
There's a lot of, like, it's not an easy choice these days. There's a lot of pressure, like, to tone it down, or, you know, like, there's a lot of pressure. Yeah. So I do know that, like, because I have to stand most of the game, the shoe choices have to be very well thought out. Like, if you're an assistant sitting down, you can wear the highest of heels, you know, because you're just sitting there. When you have to be up and down the sideline, I got to be a little more strategic. But no, I look at games as, like, this is our chance to show out. Like, this is the product we're putting on the floor. Like, I don't think we should take anything lightly about how we do anything, what our appearance is. I was like that as a player. I always thought, you look good, you play good, you know? So I would, you know, wore eye makeup and all the whole deal. Like, so that's going to continue. But just got to make sure, you know, like, I can sustain standing up the whole game. But, so,
you know what? So you can always do a shoe change. You could always have the stilettos in the first half, and then second half, like, switch to some Prada sneakers and just, like,
right.
Unless the first half is going really well, you cannot change a thing.
Right. Unless it's going great. Yeah. And then you're up 20.
Right. And you got to stay with it. I know.
Yeah, you got to suffer. It's fine.
There's ways around it.
I mean, this is a public call to all these clothing brands, Revolve, whoever the heck else is out there. I don't know too many. I got to talk to my wife. She's on Vuori now, Lululemon, all that. Let's get Coach Brooke in the best gear. Let's send her everything you got, Florida State, everywhere. Let's see it.
Please. It. Yes. I'm open. Thanks, Dano.
Yes.
It's been so amazing, Coach, talking to you. We appreciate just you being open and honest with us about your process and the things that you've been through and being a working mom. And just, I think, the overall things that you embody and being a role model for women and for women that are in the sport. So we appreciate talking to you. I will be checking your game day fits. I will send you a DM if I absolutely love it. You will know. And we're excited to watch your team kill it this season. Best of luck to you and the team. And also tell all your staff I said hi, because they're all my homies. I've, like, literally.
I know. You're like one of the crew. I know. I will tell them. Thank you guys both. Thank you, Ice. Yes. Thank you, Dano. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.